Album club.
What are you eating?
The bowl of cereal.
What cereal?
Like an off-brand cornflakes.
It's boring as shit.
What breakfast food can you eat that is not boring but also doesn't take too long to make?
Fried eggs.
Takes a little bit of time to make.
It doesn't take that long.
Well, if you're going to add bacon and stuff, it takes a while. Like an ordeal.
Toast.
That's even more boring than cereal.
No, because you can put anything on it.
Like what?
I didn't say cereal was boring. I said cornflakes are boring. Special K is delightful. Did you watch the tennis last night?
No, I didn't, but I saw that a British girl beat a Canadian girl.
Yeah, she's the first qualifier to ever win a major.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing for the Canadian because, you know, we had Jessica Andreescu win the US Open 2 years ago, and everyone thought she was going to become like a star, but I think she hasn't really won much since then.
Who's this Lord?
Tennis.
No, tennis. The Canadian girl that won the US Open 2 years ago. It was a huge deal in Canada because no Canadians are good at tennis. Well, actually, there's a couple of people that are pretty good, but no one that really has won much. So it was like the first Canadian to win anything big in tennis in, I don't know, a long time. But then I think she just hasn't really won anything since and has been injured and stuff.
No,
there was also a pandemic. Kind of got in the way.
That's true. There was a pandemic. Yeah.
For any of the listeners, this is breaking news. There was a pandemic.
That mustache is looking pretty good. Have you been like shaving everything but the mustache more?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a little bit of curl going on.
Yeah, but it curls on one side a lot better than the other side. I might go to a barber's.
Get some wax on it.
I don't think wax would solve it.
That's literally what wax was used for, twirling the
ends.
Yeah,
but like kind of this side seems a lot thinner, as in it's not as bushy. I've got a lopsided tash, naturally lopsided.
It looks good, though. I'm liking it. It's got like a Winston Churchill vibe going on.
Oh. Are some
like wise Englishmen.
Wise Englishmen. Thank you very much. That's the look I was going to go for. The wise Englishman. The aristocrat.
Is that your phone, Matt?
This is what my phone?
Bzz, bzz.
Oh, that might be my phone, yeah.
How about someone's watching the Formula One? And it's like a pit stop or something. All right, which album do you guys want to talk about first?
You want to do an introduction, say hello to everyone?
We have been listening to Lorde's Solar Power, as hopefully all of you guys have too. And then also Rolling Stone's Sticky Fingers. Which one should we start with?
Whatever.
How about Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
All right. First off, which songs had you heard before from this album? Because everyone knows Brown Sugar. Everyone knows, what is it, Wild Horses, right?
And Can't You Hear Me Knocking?
Those were the only two I knew.
I think I'd Can't You Hear Me Knocking? And for some reason, I recognized Moonlight Mile, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I recognized Bitch, but not the others other than Brown Sugar, Wild Horses.
Bitch was actually my favorite song, Easy.
How was it?
Easy.
Easily.
Like, from the first, easily. From the first time I heard it. I was like, damn, what's this song? I haven't heard it before. And even still, that's my favorite song on the album. I think it's better than Brown Sugar and Wild Horses, even though those two are the classics.
Yeah.
The song Bitch, it's really interesting. The guitar riff is really confusing. It's not in a weird time signature. It's just really, really like syncopated and not symmetrical. Not symmetric. Like it goes, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And that doesn't happen evenly. So I was like, how can I count this? And if you count it at four beats and then two beats and then four beats and then two beats and four, so it actually comes out to like 16 beats. But I think it makes more sense to count it that way. And then Mick Jagger's vocals in it are really, really good, especially in the second verse.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, back in the day said Mick Jagger isn't a good singer, but I don't know how anyone could say that, because in my opinion, he was way better than I thought he would be.
Well, I think he's got quite a unique style of singing. I think he's kind of just distinctive. I wouldn't say he's like this amazing, amazing singer, but his distinctiveness.
Actually thought he was very good. Like, you know, the power in his voice, some of the notes he hits, especially in Sway, are pretty high.
What was with the accent in Dead Flowers?
I was also wondering about that too.
I really like Dead Flowers. I think it's because this came out in 71 and they had kind of broken America and they spent loads of time there and they spent loads of time. I think they did stuff with like classic blues artists like Muddy Water and stuff like that. I don't know. That might have just influenced them into that. I really like that song. And it's similar to Rocky Raccoon on the White Album.
I don't know that song, the White Album.
So it's a Beatles song, and they kind of wrote it because Paul McCartney kind of wanted to do an American cowboy accent.
Yeah. It's more of a country song, the song Dead Flowers. Yeah, it's very yeah. country, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. I also like Dead Flowers. That was one of my favorites too, even though it's very country. It just has a nice melody, has a nice kind of feel to it, I think.
Yeah, I was just looking up who it was. It was a guy called Graham Parsons, who is with bands like The Birds. And Mick was good mates with him and had been writing stuff with him, and that's why he got more of a country vibe to a few of the songs there.
Interesting. But it's quite interesting to see America have that influence on them. Well, obviously, America's always had an influence on the Rolling Stones, but kind of them branching out into further American genres.
Yeah, and in Dead Flowers, they even talk about the Kentucky Derby. So I don't think there's many people in the UK who care about that, right?
I mean, we don't watch it, but most people have heard of it, I'd say. Yeah. Especially if you're familiar with horse racing.
Is horse racing nothing but gambling? Like, does anyone actually care about the sport of horse racing without gambling?
Well, as in they just support a horse.
Yeah, or just like the technique or like the thrill of the race.
Yeah, I guess so.
The owners, like, jockeys and trainers do, I presume.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to bet.
I've met a famous jockey. Couldn't tell you his name. Came into the bar that I was working at, and everyone, there was like a buzz, and I served him a champagne bottle, and then he left saying, "See you guys next year." And I was like, "The fuck is this guy?" And everyone was like, "Yeah." And I was like, no idea who this short Italian man is. For context, I used to work in a bar in Epsom, which has a famous horse race.
Yeah, Dead Flowers is actually one of my favorites. The ending's nice. It just ends on a very synchronized rock and roll country way. I could see you actually, Matt, really liking this album. I kind of feel it's
I really do. It's a great album. Sticky Fingers. I could kind of listen to it all the way through, and then found it really hard to pick my favourite because it's just so... I found every song likeable, but likeable for a different reason, which makes it harder to then pick a favourite.
Yeah, you can definitely see why I took an all-time classic album, for sure. I didn't really notice how much some of the artists that I like are influenced by Rolling Stones. So, for example, Marcus Foster, who before we were doing these over Zoom, I showed Johnny and Liam. And some of his songs, especially some of the songs in his later EPs, are almost just straight up Rolling Stones influence. And I never realized it. Yeah. And now if I listen to like any of his new stuff, I'm like, oh damn, this is just Rolling Stones. Modernized a bit for sure, but really, really influenced.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones. I think this is when they came into their real forte. What did you think Brown Sugar is about? Because there's kind of debate on what that song is actually about.
I think Johnny's the one for that.
Girls and Drugs.
Girls and Drugs.
Yeah. Is mostly about a girl, but there are drug references. It's meant to be a bit sleazy of a song and a bit risque. And that was the overall thing for it. And it was written about some of the backing singers, wasn't it? Nick was going out with a couple of them.
I think that's the theme of the whole album, like Sister Morphine, even in Dead Flowers, there are drug references.
Yeah.
That guy I mentioned earlier actually died 2 years after this album, the guy who influenced the more country style songs on this from Drug Overdose. Yeah. The guy I mentioned earlier, I can't remember his name off the top of my head now. Only 26, morphine and alcohol. Toxic.
My dad was saying when this album came out and he was listening to it when he would have been 20, apparently his mom didn't want him listening to it because of all the drug references, like Sister Morphine and as we were mentioning in Dead Flowers.
Did your dad listen to it?
Yeah, I think so.
Did he start doing drugs?
Probably.
He's never stopped.
He was kind of a hippie back in the day, yeah.
Was he?
If you see pictures of him back when he was in his 20s, yeah, you would be very surprised.
Wow.
Let's quickly start a new meeting because this one, sometimes it's nice and gives us unlimited, but not today.
How's your poo, Zach?
Poo was pretty good, actually.
Wipage level?
I'd say average.
It's average for you.
Probably more than usual, I'd say, is average for me.
What you'd assume normal people use. That's true.
You can't really tell. But
that's an interesting point. What is average wipage?
You know what's funny is if you ask people, like, do you scrunch your toilet paper or do you fold it into nice little, like, squares?
Fold it. It's
very 50-50. Yeah, I fold it too.
Yeah, if you scrunch, surely, like, all the creases just hurt your bum.
More surface area.
Exactly. What kind of fucking morons are scrunching?
James Cameron.
Is he? Yeah, but he's a dirty bastard, so that doesn't surprise.
If you scrunch, you get more surface area. But the thing is, you can't, really? Yeah, because it's all, like, jagged, right? But then you can't do more than, I would think, one wipe per piece.
Yeah, you'd have to turn the ball, but then the ball would shit in your hand.
What's funny is I bought, like, a giant mega pack of toilet paper that was on a good sale, even though it was, like, pretty good toilet paper, I thought. It is terrible, and I have so much of it. So for the past, like, half year, I've been using just the worst toilet paper. I'm finally almost done.
Yeah, poo hose like me.
I really want to.
The hose is the way forward.
Yeah, I use very little toilet paper as a result. Spray and dry.
Spray and dry.
Anyway, that little nice...
What's the name of this episode?
Spray and dry.
Sticky fingers, yeah.
if you don't spray and dry, you might end up with sticky fingers.
Where were we? We were talking about...
If you scrunch, you're definitely ending up with sticky fingers.
Yeah. Johnny, what other songs did you know besides Wild Horses and Brown Sugar?
Just Bitch I recognised, and maybe Sway. Sway was a bit familiar, but I wouldn't say I was overly familiar with it.
That was what you said, yeah.
Can't you hear me knocking?
So we listened to that in the car, and that was like... I hadn't heard that one before.
I thought that was on an advert in the UK for a while.
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to think back because I'm familiar with it now, so I can't remember how
when
I first heard it. That was Can You Hear Me Knocking was probably my favourite.
Yeah, it's just...
Really?
Yeah.
That was the song with, like, the super long just blues jam in the middle of it, wasn't it?
At the end, because I read the story about it, and they recorded it in one take. And spontaneously started jamming at the end of it. And that was just completely improvised. And they thought that they were just going to cut out the jam. And then when they listened to it back, then I was like, this is pretty cool. So they actually ended up keeping it in.
Yeah.
I don't really like it when album songs do that, because I just want to hear the song, and then if I want to hear a jam, I'll go listen to live or something. But when songs do that and they turn it into this ginormous long song, it's like, okay, I want to listen to the next song now, but now I have to skip it because I've got this like 4 minute jam going on.
I really like the jam. I thought it gave it a really cool, groovy, jazzy feel.
It's a bizarre way to listen, the idea of trying to listen to music efficiently. That's a very scientific approach. That.
But the jam is maybe good once or twice, but I feel like if I'm going to listen to the song, I wouldn't want to listen to the jam again.
I think it highlights how good musicians they are, that they did it in one take and then came up with this jam, which was good enough to leave on a classic album. It makes you feel a bit more personal to them, because the music, like on an album, is usually written months in advance, rehearsed, recorded, all that. And that was just a jam that came out of nowhere that I really enjoyed. So
yeah, to each their own. That song's good though. Sway, as you mentioned before, that was also one of my favorite songs. Like I was saying, Mick Jagger's voice is really good in it. Yeah, that song's like almost like a power ballad, and I kind of like those. So.
With Mick's voice, did you notice with Can't You Hear Me Knocking, the key was too high for his voice?
No, I didn't notice that.
You're the sort of guy that notices that. I didn't. I just read it somewhere. But yeah, he said it was too high for his voice, so he actually thinks he sings really poorly in that song.
Something I kind of was thinking is that Keith Richards, I feel like he didn't shine as much as I thought he might. And don't get me wrong, he was great, but I didn't listen to it and come away thinking like, wow, this guitar player is a legend.
It wasn't Keith for most of it. It was Mick Taylor.
Also,
Mick Taylor is a legend. He's like regarded as one of the best guitarists of all time.
If you listen to the 2009 remastering, some of it's Eric Clapton.
No kidding.
For Brown Sugar on the 2009 remastering, Eric Clapton is in it.
And Johnny, I'm sure that everyone who's playing is a great musician. It's just that on the album, they didn't really flex as much as they could have, you know?
I thought the opposite. I've got on my notes that I thought Mick Taylor was a solid guitarist, and he gave him a slightly different sound to Keith's playing. And he's quite experimental with it. He's in Wild Horses, he's in Nashville Tuning, which I had to look up because I didn't know what that meant.
Is that dad gad?
It is when EADG strings go one octave higher.
Oh, an octave higher? Weird.
Yeah, it's very popular in the late 60s, early 70s for a brief period, but it doesn't seem to have been used very much since.
I've heard the phrase Nashville Tuning, but I thought it was dad gad, but no, it's not.
And on Wild Horses as well, as Keith Richards was on the 12 string. So I was trying to wonder how they got that sound to it in the background. That makes sense. 12 string acoustic.
Charlie Watts, something I heard people saying, and then if you listen to it, and even if you watch him live, he does it. You know how you're kind of on the hi-hat, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then snare?
Yeah.
When he hits the snare, he won't hit the hi-hat. So he'll cut out the hi-hat note and hit the snare alone. That's not something people really do, except for him.
He was trained as a jazz drummer, so is that something related to jazz?
He was a big band drummer.
You can tell just by the way he looks when he plays. He looks the way he sits at the throne and holds the sticks, yeah.
He's very chilled out. I remember when I saw him live, he looked almost bored. Like, he's very much in his own world, just kind of like looking around the crowd, just drumming away. Well, on the other hand, you had Mick Jagger running up and down the catwalk with his top off, going absolutely mental. It was quite opposites.
Sorry, I interrupted you. You're saying that he's a big band drummer?
Yeah, he was trained as a big band drummer in London. So he was all into the jazz. So yeah, Johnny's right. It might be linked to that. He was an interesting guy, actually. Quite liked him. I watched the Keith Richards documentary the other day on Netflix. It's quite worth a watch because he talks about the process that the Rolling Stones had and how to make music.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'll check that out.
You know, to talk about their influences and stuff like that.
I guess the last thing for me on that was in Sister Morphine, I like how it picks up. It kind of like calms down and then kind of comes back in, and it does a really good job of doing that. Overall, I liked it. It was very, like I said, influential. The more listening back to it, I'm like, oh, I can definitely see now why the Stones were such a huge deal. I'm actually not the biggest blues fan. I mean, I like blues, but it's not my favorite. So this is not like one of my favorite albums, but it's obviously a great album, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think every song is brilliant on its own merit, making it a justified classic.
So, Matt, your favorite song was Can't You Hear Me Knocking?
Yeah.
And Johnny?
Can You Hear Me Knocking?
Really? Okay. Yeah, mine
was a bit. It was quite good.
All right, well, then why don't we move on to the Lord album?
Yeah. But first, Zach, I understand you're going on holiday soon, so why don't you tell us a little about your trip that you've got planned, what sort of stuff you want to do?
Booked flights to Abu Dhabi, because we all grew up there, obviously. But I haven't been back in 3 years, and it just so happened with my schedule that I've got a month where I can go do something. And so, yeah, I'm going to be there for 3 weeks. Something I very much want to do, so you guys can help me out, is things that are not Abu Dhabi and Dubai, because obviously we've done everything in those two cities. So I kind of want to go see the more historical stuff that people don't really care about there.
Like, you go see the forts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Well, go to Ras Al Khaimah. Go to... what's it called? Right next to Rack.
The Muslim Dam?
Yeah. You can go stay on a dhow overnight. And the craziest thing is, they'll say they'll sort out, you're in the middle of like this like bay, and like the mountain, it's just like rocky mountains, and then it's just the sea. So there are very few beaches. But you're in the middle of the sea at night, and you kind of ask like where the food, how are we getting food? And you get a takeaway. But what? This other boat comes out of the darkness with like a Lebanese flower.
No way.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's unreal. And you're there, and the water is like clear. You can see all the fish, and you go swimming, you see dolphins. Or you go with Megan.
Yeah.
Take it to Barracuda.
Barracuda.
Barracuda. And then get your free ticket to Dreamland Water Park. And
remember, we were so hungover that no one even wanted to go.
Yeah, do you remember Craig was like throwing up? He was so bad, and then he went on one water slide, and it was the fastest recovery I've ever seen. Got to the bottom and then ran off to go on it again. He's in such a state before.
You remember we were in line to enter, and he was just like hunched over, trying to get away from the sun.
Didn't we go like midweek because it was really empty, so we basically had free rein at the park?
It was also summer, so it was too hot, so no one was there, yeah.
Yeah. Have you got any plans, Johnny?
Well, we're driving down on Thursday for the wedding.
Oh, shit, yeah, we are. Fuck.
Oh, it's Miss Wedding on Thursday.
It's on Friday. Wedding on Thursday.
Well, yeah, I'm interested to hear how the wedding goes.
Yeah, it should be good. Yeah. I fit in my suit now as well. Had to take it to the tailor because of a bit too much lockdown weight.
I actually tried
dieting as well.
Suit on for the first time in like a year, and it's so tight. It's so tight. I have to like breathe in to get in. So that might be a wedding story.
For one of my cousin's wedding, like five or 6 years ago, we all had tuxes made because in California, where they're from, they found a place that you can get like a really cheap tux made for you that for cheaper than renting one. So we're like, why don't we just do that? If you're going to wear it for one night, now you have a tux. And mine was the only tux that I still have that didn't break. But all these other people were like doing dance moves and just like, pa, like buttons were flying and like, the vest just opens and shit. Whereas for me, I've worn that tux like, you know, every New Year's in Abu Dhabi, and I wore it as a butler for Halloween once. And yeah.
You went to Halloween as a butler?
You know, that costume, that was a hit. I remember thinking,
That people are just handing you their drinks.
Right. The went to the Halloween party in a tux, and instead of going, "I'm James Bond," you went, "I'm a butler."
All teenage boys think they're James Bond when they put on a suit, right? So I was like, it was the day of Halloween, and I'm just like, what should I do? And I'm like, I'll just throw it on as a butler. And I'm like, you know what? What I'll do is I'll put my tux. I went over to the dollar store and got like a tray, and I bought two plastic cups and then a towel. And then so I was walking around in the tux, and I had a tray I was carrying and like a towel draped over my forearm, you know, as they do sometimes. People loved it. And then there were two cups, which I super glued onto the tray. So you could fill the cups and do like double shots or like chug, because you could get one person on one side of the tray and the other person on the other side of the tray. And there was like a best costume competition. And all these people who had like really elaborate costumes were going up on stage, and people were like, "Butler, Butler." And I'm like, I just threw this together like 2 hours ago.
Well,
that's quality.
We're going to, my phone is just dropped to 3% battery from like 20 of now two. I don't know what's happening. Right. Let me try to figure something out.
You plug it in?
Yeah, probably should put it on charge.
Probably the first thing we should do.
And it's just dropped to 1%. It's charging now, zero. I'm about to die. I've got you plugged in.
This is like nerve-wracking.
This is. Oh,
you're still there. One, there we go.
What's happening?
So far, so good. Why don't we move on to Lord?
Let's move on to Lord.
Quickly before Matt's battery dies.
Right, one word summary of Lord. Zach, go. One word.
Royal.
That's a different album. Rubbish.
Chilled.
Okay. Right, we're done. Finish.
Johnny, I know that you're like a Lord fan, so why don't you give us your thoughts?
I'm not a massive fan. Like, this is the first album that I've listened to fully, but yeah, I've liked quite like a lot of songs that have been singles before. Yeah, overall, I really like the album. I liked it stripped back nature. They're quite simple with the instrumentation. The drum loops were just from 808's drum machine. You remember Kanye famously used that in 808 and Heartbreak album. So I thought it had quite a chilled, summery vibe with a few nodes of a psychedelic vibe to it as well. It was quite kind of what I expected with Jack Antonoff working on it. He's taken a lot of the free reign that he has with when he makes Lana Del Rey's music and added that to Lord's. I thought it worked pretty well.
This album never really grabbed my attention. I don't know. To me, I thought it was okay. I just found it, chilled, but to the point where I found myself forgetting songs.
So I feel that way about the middle of the album.
It didn't really do much for me.
Looking at the songs, I actually like the first three songs. The first one, The Path, I like the chorus a lot. Solar Power is just like a nice, that was just the first single, right? Yeah, that one's kind of upbeat, just like a nice song. California as well has a very chilled, nice, catchy vibe.
Goodbye to all the bottles, all the models, lights, clouds in the skies, a whole new rain.
Why is California such a popular topic in music?
Well, because it's at the forefront of music in a lot of ways, isn't it? And most celebrities live there.
That's true, yeah. And all like the music industry, I think, is there. So
yeah. Also, with the theme of the album, where it's like chilled, summery vibes, California is known for like being nice weather all year, beaches and stuff, everything you'd associate with in summer.
Mm-hmm. I like the song California. Stoned at the Nail Salon. That song really remind me of Traitor by Olivia Rodrigo. I was almost expecting it to go like, "You betrayed me" at one point.
Well, even more so with that, I thought it was really reminiscent of Lana Del Rey, and I couldn't put my finger on it for ages. So I Googled Lord Lana Del Rey, and it turns out loads of people are saying the same thing. It's the same melody as one of the songs from Lana's last album. And so on YouTube, someone's made a mix of where they put the songs together, and it's just seamless. Like, it just sounds like a duet, sort of. With Stone to the Nails, Solana, I'll send through that YouTube video.
Yeah.
So you can have a listen. But yes, it's just, I think it's one particular line from Wild at Heart by Lana Del Rey, where the melody, and it's the same co-writer, Jack Antonoff. So basically he's getting the brunt of it, saying he's being lazy and recycling melodies that he's produced.
'Cause all the beautiful girls, they will fade like the roses, and all the times they will change, it'll all come around. I don't know, maybe I'm the stone that the nails sell on. Maybe I
kind of rude to say, but I feel like some of the songs in the later middle of the album are a little bit filler almost, like Big Star, Leader of a New Regime, The Man with the Axe. Dominoes is kind of nice, but I don't know, there's like four or five in a row that just I don't remember, even though I've listened to them a bunch of times. The Man with the Axe does do something really cool, has this really crazy chord change that's like really dissonant in the, like when it says The Man with the Axe. It's really interesting, but besides that, there, I thought, wasn't too much in the song. Yeah, so just those like four or five in a row.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts on that, specifically Man with the Axe and Big Star, because they were full-length songs. I think Dominoes and Leader of New Regime got away with it a bit more because they're like micro songs. They're only like a minute and a half long. And so they don't drag out too much like their average album filler, but they're, you're not listening to it for like 4.5 minutes while the other two are a bit longer.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is, even though there was filler in those songs, I actually liked this album a lot and probably listened to it more than I did Sticky Fingers, even though I listened to both a lot. I kind of liked the nature of having this album on without, it doesn't like grab your attention as much, you know? So if it's just like a nice day and I'm just walking or something, I would rather put on this than a blues rock album.
Yeah, it's good for like chilling and sitting in the garden.
I disagree. I would much rather listen to Rolling Stones. I really like Lord a lot, actually. I felt a bit deflated from this album. I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, this album didn't get very good reviews as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, it's quite a mixed bag. Some are good, some are poor.
If I'm seeking out to listen to music, I like to really pay attention, I would listen to Rolling Stones. But if I'm just looking to something to just chuck on, like yesterday I was changing my laptop battery, I put on Solar Power rather than Sticky Fingers, you know, screwing all these little tiny screws.
what a soundtrack to that fun activity.
It was fun, actually. It did a world of difference. Fallen Fruit, I liked the slide guitar. There's this really cool slide guitar solo. That was really cool.
Yeah, it gave a bit of an eerie vibe as well, that song.
And then the line where it says, "Don't make me choose." I really like the whispered harmonies. I don't know how to describe it, but that is one of my favorite things in music, like this really intense, eerie, whispered lines. And I know I've mentioned him a bunch, so I'll mention him and not mention him ever again, I promise, in the podcast. But that line where it goes, "Don't make me choose," is the most Elliott Smith sounding musical line that I've heard that's not Elliott Smith.
Are you a fan of Elliott Smith, though?
It seems that I always mention him. So I'll promise not to mention it again. It just,
yeah, but to be fair, when it's new music, he has inspired so much of it, especially singer-songwriters. So, I mean, it's fair enough that there are similarities there that you can pick up on.
Before, I'm like, oh, this is a bit like him. But this one, I'm like, this is exactly like him. But anyway, so I did like Fallen Fruit. It was very like a biblical-ish weird song.
There's an overriding theme of nostalgia in the album as well. And I think that was quite prevalent in that song. And California as well.
Biblical is an interesting description of it. What do you mean, Zach?
Well, isn't the whole Fallen Fruit thing to do with like the Bible?
Well, as in like the apple that Eve takes a nibble off.
That's kind of what I thought, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't.
I mean, perhaps I'm wrong. I don't know.
No. And Eve now is kind of the archetype of the originality of, you know, sexism, this idea that it was all the woman's fault. So maybe Lord's going against that. And plus, here's a fun fact that I learned relatively recently. Eve wasn't Adam's first wife. Adam had a wife called Eve, this is getting biblical, whose name I can't remember, and God got rid of her because she was too disobedient. Absolute chaos. Madness.
And then Eve goes ahead and does that?
Yeah.
Ah, that is madness, you're right. Also, a fun fact is, if you count the deaths in the Bible that are attributed to God versus the ones that are attributed to Satan, it's like God kills way more people than Satan does.
Yeah, big up Satanism. Satanism is also the only people now left fighting the abortion laws in Texas.
I saw that. It's hilarious. And it's funny. They don't believe in Satan. They just find it funny to like claim to believe in Satan because people who believe in God couldn't, like, they have no argument.
I just Googled that, Matt.
Googled what?
The thing. She was called Lilith. It's in the Hebrew Bible for Judaism, but the Christian and Islamic versions of the story don't mention her
as well. That's because
she is known as a demon in Arabic culture.
I quite like the name Lilith. But what's I going to say? I watched a documentary on Satanism quite a while ago, and it was about these people who are now fighting the abortion thing, and they have like different sects around the world. And there's this one sect that have gone full into like believing in Satan, and they had to completely disassociate themselves from these people. They're like, let's sacrifice. And they're like, oh, no. You guys have missed the point entirely.
It's funny with the whole abortion thing that the Satanists are doing, because they're like, you guys claim to love like religious freedom, so our religion says that we should be able to have abortions. So you guys must grant us that because you love granting religious exemptions.
Yeah. I feel like what those groups mean is they love religious freedom as long as it's Christianity.
100%. Yeah, as long as it pertains to their beliefs, then
there's no problem. But
yeah,
if it's a belief that goes against their belief, then they go against it.
Just quickly, I do have a favorite song that we haven't spoken about yet.
What's that?
Mood Ring.
Yeah, that's the third single, I believe.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was a single until like just a week ago or so.
Yeah, I actually agree. Mood Ring was one of mine as well.
That's got the exact vibe that I'm talking about with like the very hushed vocals where like they're very atmospheric and panned all around. That's really what I like. Also, when she sings the word mood, like my mood ring, it's not the note that you would expect. it still is in the, I was trying to just figure it out. I think it is still in the pentatonic scale, but it's just like flatter than you would think it is. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think the singles she chose, that being one of them, and the other two being Solar Power and Stoned at the Nail Salon, I think they quite stood out as being the obvious choice for singles from the album.
Apart from Solar Power really doesn't do it for me.
Solar Power's done pretty well around the world. It's popular as hell.
I know, but the world is wrong.
I really like it. Did you did you see the Primal Scream thing?
Yeah.
We're loaded, yeah. And they, because it sounds a lot similar. And someone asked her about it, and she's just like, "Oh yeah, totally based it off that song. Like, I love that song. It's great."
Yeah, fair enough. Turn it on in a new kind of bright. It's solar. Come on and let the bliss begin. Think three times when you feel it kicking in that
Yeah, I thought it's a really good song.
Yeah. I'm not really. It was fine. That would be my summary. I don't think people will remember it in X amount of years.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think the only song that I really liked was Mood Ring. The others I liked, and I just kind of, it was more that I dug the general feel than I really liked individual songs, except for Mood Ring, which I really did like, yeah. And I thought the atmosphere of that song. And like the little guitar, like acoustic guitar bursts were really cool. You know, the whole meaning of Mood Ring, right? It's that kind of like pseudo spiritual stuff going on.
Do you guys remember getting Mood Rings at the school fete?
Wasn't it more of a thing that the girls did?
No, we ordered it. Maybe.
I don't think I did.
I remember I got a Mood Ring. I remember.
I'm pretty sure we all had a Mood Ring at one point in junior school.
It would tell me my mood.
Grumpy, 24/7.
Miserable. Angsty. I would love it if it gave really specific moods. Pissed off with the world. Regretting your last choice would be fantastic.
That was more or less my thoughts. I would say that I liked the general feel. The last song was interesting when she was talking about like gutting a fish or something. Something.
Yeah, some of the lyrics I felt were just kind of all over the place with an angle to be deep, but didn't work for me.
I think it's just trying to be quite dreamy, like dream pop star.
The dream pop star.
Matt, you weren't a fan. Johnny, were you a fan?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I really liked it. It's a good album. I think the favorite for me was probably The Path, the opening track. I was quite underwhelmed by that at first. It took quite a lot of lessons to really get into it. But then once it hit me, I just really liked it and it quickly became my favourite song from the album.
Oh, yeah, The Pathless?
Yeah, because I like how it kind of starts slowly and then it builds up. It's got really nice melodies throughout. But there's a bit when the drums kick in, and then with a line towards the end of the song where she says, "Savior, that's not me." I really like the note she hits while she sings the word "Savior."
Hmm.
So it's a real earworm, like, got stuck in my head a lot.
Yeah, I'll go back and listen to that again. I just hope the sun will show us the path. But I agree, the path was one of the three or four that I had up there.
Did you guys see any of that rooftop performance she did recently with Jack Antonoff, the producer?
No, I did not.
No, I saw a few performances, but not that one.
Yeah, really good.
Lord's, do you know Lord's performance of the David Bowie tribute? That was amazing. If anyone's not seen that, it's really good. She sings Life on Mars. Brilliant. In fact, wow. David Bowie apparently called her the future of pop music. I think I heard
I remember you saying in the last step.
That's why I kind of had really high hopes. Like, I really like Lord's other stuff, but I just felt this album was a bit... And she's kind of earned her right to have an off album, but not every song's brilliant. This one, okay. Did she sing to Maori on this track, on this album?
That's a bonus thing. I've not listened to that, but I did see it. She's covered a few of the songs in Maori.
Mm. No way.
Which ones is it, Matt? Do you remember?
Oh, I can't remember. I was sat reading about it when I was in the Tea Hive in Chiltern, and then I realised it was really late and my food still hadn't arrived, so I started like rushing.
That's cool. I'd like to hear that, actually. Maori cover. Overall, I, like I said, liked it. I thought it was good music, but there is a bit of filler, in my opinion. And I know that's like a rude thing to say, but I kind of think it's true. Anyway, do you want to move on to our suggestions? It's show and tell time. So each of us pick one of our favorites.
Right. I will go with an album called Let My People Go by an artist called Durando.
Okay. I've never heard of this artist. Durando?
Durando.
How do you spell that?
D-A-R-O-N-D-O.
Okay. What's a quick summary of it?
Good.
Good. All right. Yeah, I could use some new music. So let's do it.
It's kind of soulful and funky.
All right. I'm between two. I kind of want to suggest one, but I'm worried that Matt will kind of roll his eyes a bit. But right. I think Johnny would be a bit more receptive.
His camera's off, so he won't see his rolling eyes. So
okay.
It doesn't really matter.
Because the other one I wanted to suggest is very depressing. And for the end of summer, I'll save that one. So let's do a alt-rock punk album.
Well, what was the album that I'd roll my eyes at?
I'll suggest that one.
Yeah.
Let's just get it out of the way.
The camera's back on.
The camera's back. Okay, let's see your eyes roll, Matt. I'm going to suggest The Sufferer and the Witness by Rise Against.
Yeah.
No, I think Johnny, I'm expecting Johnny to be a bit more receptive, but I think that we can now look back upon that mid-2000s alt-rock stuff and then You know, it might be the album that is more for teenagers than it is for us. But I think at least if you listen to the guy's voice, hopefully you'll be impressed by that at least.
For any listeners, this is prime year nine Zach Zager.
Prime, exactly, which is why I thought that you might realize. Yeah.
My housemate actually loves Rise Against, so he'll be happy that I've got that one on.
That's kind of why I'm like, let's at least show you some of these songs, and then we'll move on to more like less... Yeah. Stuff like that.
Johnny, what you say?
I'm going to go with In the Mountain, In the Cloud by Portugal the Man.
Yes, Portugal the Man, thank you.
Yeah, I will do, but obviously we need to say it aloud for our listeners to listen along. So Portugal the Man, In the Mountain, In the Cloud.
I've been waiting for you to suggest a Portugal the Man album because you showed me, I mean, there's a song everyone knows, but then you showed me Noise Pollution, which I loved. And then yeah. I just haven't listened to them. And I know you love them. So I'm like, hopefully Johnny will at some point suggest Portugal the Man.
Yeah, this is their sixth album. So the one that they got super famous from with their big song, that was from their eighth. So this is from their sixth. But they tend to do a different style of music for each album. So this one's kind of like glam rock influence while having kind of hippie psychedelic It's quite a cool album, and Matt might recognize one of the songs because I got into them because of one of their songs was on FIFA. I think FIFA like 10 or 11. And so you might have somewhere in your mind that remembers it from that FIFA soundtrack.
Yeah. I know Portugal the Man. I've listened to quite a lot of stuff through you and Liam.
Yeah, they're a good band. So yeah, want to see what you guys think of that one.
Has this album got either Modern Jesus or Noise Pollution?
No, Noise Pollution's from their latest, Woodstock, and the other one, what was the first one you said? Modern Jesus. Yeah, that's from Evil Friends, which I was considering, so I knew you'd like that because Danger Mouse produced that one.
I do like it.
This is before those two.
All right, well, we will just go over those again. So, Portugal the Man, what was the album again?
In the Mountain, In the Cloud.
The Mountain, Cloud, and then The Sufferer and the Witness by Rise Against. And then Matt, what was the name again? It's a funny name.
Durando. Let My People Go.
Let My People Go. All right, that's it from us. Yeah, let's get those on. I'm excited for some new music.